I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed. This is Marek Larwood.
Hello, listeners.
And this is Miss Danielle Ward. Hello.
Hello.
Danielle Ward's back as a special treat.
As a treat just for once, because I live here.
That's right. And it'd be awkward if you
And normally I leave the house when you're recording this because I hate it so much, but I thought I'd stick around today.
Hang on a minute.
Well, oh. I mean, that's grateful. That's gratitude for you.
Yeah, I didn't mean the podcast.
Oh, just hate us. Oh, that's
as
fine.
As people.
That's fine, yeah, yeah.
As people,
I hate the conversation.
Yeah.
What? Oh, me too.
I mean, yeah, no one listens to this conversation. No. I mean, and Buddy the dog is also here to complete the group, but he's a bit damp from the rain. Well, we're going to talk about films today. Danielle has brought in a film for us to talk about, and once in a blue moon this happens, we've all been to the cinema to see the same film.
I've seen the same bloody film.
It's almost like professionals, or something.
Can't believe we've all been to see... I'm trying to think of what a funny film that's out recently that would be... But I can't... I don't know.
Now You See Me Too?
Can't believe we all went to see Now You See Me Too.
Yeah, we didn't.
We were the only people in Britain to go watch this film.
We all went to see that Emma Watson film that no one saw.
What was that?
It's a film about something.
Now you don't see me.
Took £47 in its opening weekend.
Wow!
That's not a general release, though.
No.
I mean, if that was available in all cinemas and it took £47, Emma Watson's star has seriously fallen.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I think you could see it on a bus or something.
What do you mean, on a bus?
I think you had to buy a ticket on the bus and you could watch it.
Oh, I see. Well, we all went to see the new Ghostbusters. Controversy Beacon, Ghostbusters.
I know.
Where should we start? Where should we start talking about this? Do we need to tell people what Ghostbusters is?
A really rough version of what it is.
Yeah. Okay, it's about four human beings who discover ghosts are real.
Ghosts and demons.
And decide to hunt them using their scientific know-how.
Yeah.
It's sort of
and like their black friend.
That's right. That's how it works.
I couldn't work out whether it's a remake. What is it? It's sort of, it's got nods to the past. It's not really a remake, but then parts of it are so close to being a remake.
Dude, have you not seen the remake of The Fly or the remake of The Thing or the remake of Rogue? Like, this happens all the time.
But this is very much a movie from the last 10 years, because Star Trek was exactly the same, where it is both a remake where they've recast those actors, but also have the previous actors in them in it, so they can go, "I approve this message."
Yeah,
it's a very odd fan service-y place for art.
Yeah.
Well, film art.
Yeah.
Pop art.
I hated that stuff. That was one of the worst bits of it for me. Every single cameo I thought was rubbish.
They're all in there as well, aren't
all
they?
Of them, they're rubbish. And all the
apart from Rick Moranis, still not out of retirement.
Good for him.
I'll tell you my thoughts on the cameos. Harold Ramis' head was great.
His yes. I assume that was his galvanised head.
Yeah.
That was his real galvanised head.
Bill Murray, I thought, was great.
Bill Murray is the
debunker. Murray.
Okay.
I did not recognise Dan Aykroyd to the point where I sat in the cinema going, I can't believe Dan Aykroyd's not in it. What a
really?
Shun. Yeah. I had no idea until Dave said he is in it.
He's like, the taxi driver.
No, I didn't realise that.
I didn't mind the receptionist lady in the
Janine.
Yeah.
I didn't understand Sigourney Weaver's character.
Yeah.
She was supposed to be just a mental scientist mentor.
It didn't quite. Do you know what? I'm going to come down on the side of politics. I'm so over the moon that this film culturally exists. It wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, but if you're a 12-year-old girl and you watch this film, you're going to be so excited.
That is
absolutely, like, what, girls with, like, laser things and they get in a car and...
Well, and they can, you know, young girls can go, I want to be a nuclear physicist when I grow up, rather than I'm going to be a princess or a receptionist.
And that's why I wish it had no...
Cakes.
Yeah.
It had no nods to the other one.
Yeah.
I wish they'd gone, do you know what, let's just make it, let's not have to go, oh, yes, hello, Bill Murray, or, oh, this is the old fire station...
But also a nod to the logo, the car, the fire station.
Don't explain all that stuff. It's so many.
A lot
of
it. My favourite bit of that.
21 Jump Street. And you love that.
Yeah, that's true. 21 Jump Street was
so similar.
Yeah, you
did, didn't you? So put it in your dick and smoke it.
Put it in your dick and smoke it, as they say.
Well, I wouldn't do that. I'd maybe hit it with a hammer.
Put it in your dick and hit it with a hammer.
Staple it to a wall.
My favourite bit of fan service was the exposition of where the boiler suits came from. A thing that was not necessary. You can just turn up in boiler suits and we can assume you bought them or found them.
No,
I think.
Didn't bother me at all.
I found it really weird.
Because they've made a whole thing about how Kristen Wiig, as I think we all know it is pronounced now,
yes.
Gets covered in gunk. And so it makes sense that, oh, I've bought your boiler suit so you don't get covered in gunk. And no problem with that.
Fair enough. Have you guys seen Paul Feig's other films? He's the director of this, who also co-wrote it. To me, it feels very much like a Paul Feig film more than it feels like a Ghostbusters film, which isn't a bad thing, but it is. It's one of his movies, isn't it?
I don't know what a Ghostbusters film is, though.
Well, a film that feels like Ghostbusters 1 or 2, I guess.
Ghostbusters 2 doesn't feel like Ghostbusters 1.
I don't know.
It's not like
quite
Back
similar.
To the Future. The Back to the Future films all feel like Back to the Future films.
I don't know. I think they all feel like a package. Have you seen Paul Feig's films?
What one has he done?
The Heat is him.
Yes, I have, yes.
Spy is him.
Yes, I have seen that.
Is Bridesmaids. Bridesmaids is him.
I've seen all of his
stuff. You don't like any of those films, do you, Mark?
I did really like The Heat.
You did?
Yeah.
I loved it.
The Heat is my favourite of his...
I think it's really underrated.
...of his films.
I absolutely love it. I and this is why I feel a bit sad. For me, Ghostbusters ranks third of the fourth. So The Heat's my favourite one.
Yeah.
Spy is my second favourite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I...
you don't... Spy's...
I did not like
Jason
Spy.
Jason Statham is... But what is her name? Rose Byrne is so funny.
Yeah,
when Rose Byrne
and Melissa McCarthy get a double act in it, it... goes
Those
up a level.
Are really, really
it
funny.
Goes up two levels. Like, the men are sort of holding that film back a bit. They're all fine.
There are no bits in Ghostbusters that made me laugh as much as the bit on the plane in Spy,
which is
really funny.
I think that both Ghostbusters is just a quite good film. That's so it's really hard to criticise. It hasn't. The critics can't really get their teeth into it and rip it apart because it's not bad. The people who want to get behind, can't really say it's excellent.
Yeah.
It's just a quite good, I would give it a 6 or a 7. My main problem, I love Kristen Wiig. I love Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
I think they're brilliant. I wish they were let loose a bit more. My biggest problem was this film, as I think it had one of the most annoying performances I've seen at the cinema, which is Kate McKinnon as Holtzman. Every time she came on screen, me and my girlfriend thought, just stop that overacting kookiness. I hated it so much.
I really enjoyed Holtzman.
She fucking shit.
Oh, so I had a similar thing with you, but for me, Holtzman's character on the page is nothing. There's nothing there. So Kate McKinnon's bringing any single trick that she has got.
Too many, though, man.
Maybe too many, but that's the writing and directing problem. I think there's so much about Kate McKinnon that I love, and the scene, the big fight scene, is incredible. Like, you
that's
want
her best scene.
That's
yeah.
her best scene.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Like, the things that everybody's been saying to me, oh, she's really funny in it, and I found it, like, a bit grating.
Really cringy. She's just putting all these kooky faces and weird faces and gurning all the time.
I don't know what her character is.
But Harold Ramis, she's a Harold Ramis character.
Well, and they're not quite type for type,
no,
are they?
No, there's any of that.
But she's sort of more the scientist. He was a cop. I think she'd have played it small and just done the odd look and done the other way around. It would have been a lot more powerful. That when she attacked when she sort of fights
the big fight, the ghost. Thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's a spoiler. When she fights the ghost.
I've got a theory about that. Awesome fight sequence with their special weapons. I think it was tacked on later, and I'll tell you for why. I've read that this isn't a spoiler either.
They're a bit spoiler,
there's a Chris Hemsworth dance sequence over the credits that is quite odd that he's quite so dominant in the credits when it hasn't been his film.
Yeah,
and that's because they shot that entire dance sequence at a cost of millions of dollars. And Paul Feig said it's the biggest decision of his career to cut it from the film because it made that character too dominant. Because it's about the women.
Yeah.
So, if you take that as gospel, there's a big old set-piece hole in their script. And I think the colonial ghosts with their new weapons shooty thing was put in that hole. And I'll tell you why. Because the scene where they set up that they all get basically action figure unique weaponry.
Yeah.
Is utterly isolated as well. There's a sort of weird bodge into it. Melissa McCarthy says as they approach that scene, so the mayor said this, so we should do this scene now. And you don't see those weapons in any other shot apart from in that alleyway and then in that pretty damn awesome, basically music video sequence.
It's an incredible scene. And that's the scene that made me, up until that, like, as a young girl watching it, I would love Kate McKinnon. As an adult watching it, I was like, oh, it feels to me like she's got nothing going on in the script and she's trying everything she can to make herself relevant.
Oh, it was just the way she moved. It was really, really fake. And I thought, I'm surprised. The first thing I did after I watched it was look up Kate McKinnon and thought, has she been really slagged off this movie? Because I couldn't stand it. Really ruined it for me.
I had a really big problem with Chris Hemsworth's character, as I was saying to Dave yesterday.
Yeah.
I found the stupidity too. That's a different film.
It was too much.
Too much.
It was
Anchorman.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
And that's the problem. Like, if you buy into the world of Ghostbusters, these are all clever. So there's lots of really funny jokes, and the best jokes in all Paul Feig films are when you've got a bit of deadpan, weird, stilted dialogue between two characters. There's a reality to it.
There's a groundedness to the best bits.
So the mayor's assistant, she's really funny.
Yeah.
She's got some great deadpan lines.
I liked Andy Garcia as the mayor, actually, as well, just with how his sort of shit-kicking grin, where actually he's just kicking to stay afloat. You know?
So they're the best bits in any of these films, are the stilted, sort of awkward dialogue. In The Heat, the bit around the dinner table when she goes to Melissa McCarthy's house. It's such a brilliant, funny scene. Chris Hemsworth being a person so mentally deficient they would have died by now.
It was brick.
I just couldn't.
It was sort of...
it was brick, yeah.
It was attractive brick.
It was all right at the start. I really loved the Mike Catt bit. That made me really laugh.
That was funny.
it was
too...
Can I bring Mike Catt?
We should say there's quite a lot of spoilers. We should say it earlier, maybe.
Well, fine. I mean, not really. I mean, there aren't really spoilers apart from joke spoilers, because I don't think... I think Paul Feig has a slight problem with story in that he's afraid of tension. There's very the Heat is the film that does it best.
Yeah.
It's the only film where you fear these people could get hurt. Of his.
Yeah.
Where it all feels a bit sitcom safe, you know, which is a shame when you have a story about your characters being put in jeopardy. Because if you don't believe it at all, this isn't really a film, it's a ride. If you're not feeling it, you're just sort of acknowledging sort of it on a surface level and going, okay, what happens next? It's not quite the same experience,
is it? I
think
it's really difficult making a... Like, there's two ways you can go with a comedy film. You can go Life of Brian, Anchorman, just go for the gags and make it as funny as possible. Or you go for a sort of gross point blank, really funny, but also has got... Or like I do think The Heat is a brilliant film.
Yeah.
But you're right, there's real tension. And for me, Ghostbusters falls between the two because there are things that belong in a different film.
It's funnier than the original in terms of the gag rape.
But I love the original.
But the original finds it finds a reality to, a groundedness to what's going on. And there is a tension to what's happening.
Even the ghost stuff is better and more... in the original Ghostbusters, I think the whole way the ghosts appear is a lot more thought and a lot more... The portal in the fridge, you know, and the eggs cooking and stuff like that.
But it's far more horror movie tropes rather than sort of... I don't know what you could... Scooby-Doo. Which this was more Scooby-Doo.
Very Scooby-Doo.
There were moments when it nearly went there. These aren't spoilers because they're just moments. But, for instance, Melissa McCarthy is alone in the building and suddenly there's a noise from the toilets. And it starts to be a horror movie, but only for about... 20, 30 seconds, and then it abandons it entirely and goes to Scooby-Doo again. And you just go, I would have liked it to have had that tension, because then the release when they are ultimately victorious, or not, is that much more satisfying, you know. I don't know, it's just a balance of what you want your film to be, I guess. But I actually found this quite a joyful ride. I didn't find it annoying at all. I did find it sort of exciting to have four characters who are all women and all have different jobs and personalities.
No one's getting married.
Yeah, exactly. No one really wants to give up science and open a cake shop, which Paul Feig's been guilty of that kind of bullshit in the past as well.
I wanted it to be so much better than it was. It's not bad. It is a really... You're right. It's a 6-7. It's a fun film. If you are... And it is more of a kid's film than an adult film. If you're a young girl watching it, you're going to fall in love with this film.
I think I agree. I think that's
it's like Frozen. And it's going to be culturally huge. And it makes me so happy that there are loads of boys out there who are cursed on your penises, boys. I'm glad it's ruined your childhood. I hope that they remake every single film that you... Hey, boys. I hope they remake every film that you love. And I hope they... Shove them up your dicks.
Make Anne of Green Gables called Dan of Green Gables, and he's a red haired guy and he goes and spunks all over everything.
Why do you think those guys who you're talking to listen to this podcast?
I bet some of them do. I bet some of you do.
Okay, it's alright.
I don't mean people that listen to this.
You'd be surprised people like that.
They've stopped listening by now anyway.
Hopefully.
Oh yeah, I mean, as soon as they heard a woman's voice, they'd have turned off and just skipped to the next time. I don't know.
Marek, his name's Marek.
Simon Field is on.
Oh, right, okay.
Simon Field is really the go-to masculine guy.
Who is our most masculine friend?
Justin
Edwards.
Justin Edwards.
Yeah.
I mean, he was killed by a woman in a film.
Oh, not him then. Anyway, with my film critics hat on, Kate McKinnon's character.
I enjoyed it. It's an acquired taste, I guess, but I it didn't annoy me, and I suppose that's the difference.
I really love the fact that, rather than just take the relationships that as they stand, because I think a thing that a lot of people, when they're trying to be progressive with films, will go, well, just change all the male characters into women. Just change it like they did, obviously, famously with Ripley. That's the thing did. Do that, and then you've got a female character. It's like, well, no. Then you've got a character who, in this world, their gender is irrelevant. But women do exist, and they are different from men. And I love the fact that it is about their friendship, and that isn't a male story. And it doesn't have to be a male story.
It feels very influenced by Frozen in that regard, where big money cinema can go, oh, yeah. If we If we imply that women exist, we'll make more money.
Yeah, I'm really glad they didn't make it basically four blokes.
Yeah, with tits.
Tits, yeah.
Blokes with tits. That's a different film.
That will be the next lot of it.
Oh, what, God,
the transgender one.
The transgender busters.
Do you know, I really want them to remake The Goonies just with all women, even the women in it already, all women.
Well, who would play female slot?
Miranda Hart.
Okay, well, on that note, I think it's time for this.
Someone's written it. Here is what they said. I'm gonna read it out. This is what I read. Someone's written it. Here is what they said. I'm gonna read it out. This is what I read. Someone's written it. Here is what they said. I'm gonna read it out. This is what I read.
Here's a letter from Connor. He says, gentlemen, buddy and guest.
Hey!
I present to you the IMDb top 250 game, Eye of the Duck Special Edition.
Oh!
What is this?
Well, the IMDb top 250 game is one we invented where you go to the IMDb top 250 films of all time and count down from number one, and as soon as you hit a film you've not seen, its ranking is your score.
Oh, I think mine's really low.
It's the second most popular game after football worldwide.
Yeah, that's right. So this is Connor's Eye of the Duck Special Edition. The idea of this game is that listeners pick a film from the IMDb Top 250 list and say what they think the Eye of the Duck is. The clue is in the title of the game. What? What's an Eye of a Duck? I think you can explain it better than I can, but for those who have never heard of the term Eye of the Duck, I'm one. In short, it was a phrase coined by David Lynch to describe that one scene in a great film that captures its essence. The best example I've heard is the one you gave on a previous show, namely the scene in Gross Point Blank where John Cusack looks in the mirror and repeats his mother's words, "You're a handsome devil, what's your name?" It's a great scene, that. If I can go first, I'd say the Eye of the Duck scene in Godfather 2 is the flashback to Vito's surprise birthday party in the early days of World War II. The scene comes right at the end of the film and really puts into stark relief all the damage that Michael has done to himself and the family in filling the power vacuum left by his father. His actions have destroyed the most important thing in his world, the fabric of his family. And Fredo sticking up for him in the face of the brutish Sonny is heartbreaking, given what we have just seen. The scene gleams with pathos and all the strengths of the film, and for me is the Eye of the Duck. I'd be interested to hear your entries in this game and hear also if you agree with my choice of scene regarding Godfather 2. It's just my opinion, man. Keep watching the films, Con. Well, let's give this a go, shall we? How well do you know Godfather 2?
Is not that I've short? Only seen
should we
it
go
once.
And go for it? Is it Shawshank Redemption? That's the number one film on IMDb.
Is it?
Yeah, 10:50.
I don't remember.
What's the Eye of the Duck scene in Shawshank Redemption?
Well, the one that sums it all up.
Yeah, I've only seen it once, I don't remember.
Well, it's...
Is it the bit where he plays the music?
I was thinking that, where he lays back and that encapsulates, really, the theme of it, get busy living or get busy dying, doesn't it? I
mean, is that the theme of...
Well, that's what Red says, you know, get busy living
or get busy dying. I thought that was from a Spike Lee film.
That's actually it.
For me, being one of the Brooks things, it might be when they're reading Brooks' postcard after he's committed suicide.
Oh, really?
And they go back and they're talking about him... Morgan Freeman sees that on the wall.
Brooke was here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not enough prison stuff in it, there really, is it?
Well.
Maybe when he gets bummed by that bloke.
Maybe that's what it's all about.
Alex had a very long day.
He's had a long day.
He's a bit overtired.
What about... Okay, I'll go to another one. I've got the 250 list here.
Yeah.
Number four, The Dark Knight. Fuck off. The fourth best film of all time. Let's have a look.
Best Batman film.
What's the Eye of the Duck of Pulp Fiction? Well, it's a short story. So that's very tricky.
Get that one, isn't it?
It's the Watch Up the Bum story.
It's kind of all, the Eye of the Duck isn't literally looking up someone's bum.
I think that's the
do you think?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's Bruce Willis who ties all the stories together.
Oh, I suppose he does, doesn't he?
Yeah, so learning about
does
Bruce
he?
Yeah, he does. Bruce Willis, it's Bruce Willis that ties it all
Bruce
together.
Bruce Willis isn't in the diner with Honey Bun and...
That's John Travolta.
It's John Travolta. Yeah, no, Samuel L. Jackson ties scene. Them all together.
No,
doesn't
isn't it? I think it's Bruce Willis is the person who ties all those stories together. He's the boxer that's thrown...
I know
who hasn't thrown the fight.
Okay.
Pulp Fiction is a very hard one.
Very okay, we'll try a different one. Fight Club. Is it the scene in the car park where he fights Tyler Durden? And those guys go, "You all right, man?"
No, I think it's the scene when he realises who Tyler Durden is.
With the airline tickets in the drawer.
Yeah.
All that business. Because that's when you... That is when you realise...
Okay, it's the... where he says, "Who am I?" And the guy says, "Sir, is this a test?"
Yeah.
And he just goes, "Just answer the question." He goes, "You're Tyler Durden."
Yeah.
All right, fine.
That's what I'd say.
It's an interesting question. It's difficult to dilute, not dilute.
Why don't you know. Have a go at home?
Yeah, have a go at home.
Send in your emails and we'll read them out in approximately a month when we've forgotten about what the question was.
That's
Give me
right.
another one, Dave. Give me another one.
Oh, you want another one? Okay, a film you've seen. Okay, Seven.
Seven? Well, the thing is, a lot of them are the climax because that is the thing that
Or the big reveal.
Or the big reveal. So for Seven, it is the...
Is what's in the box? The box?
Yeah.
What's in the box?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's the dinner party scene when they're talking because when Morgan Freeman realises that he can talk to people again.
Oh, that's nice.
So you're saying it's the scene where through frosted doors Brad Pitt wrestles with two dogs on a newspaper floor.
And they lift up their glasses when the train comes past.
And he says, "You're beautiful, vibrating home."
Yeah.
Okay, that scene. That's
the most positive one.
Well, that encapsulates what Morgan Freeman says at the end, which is...
lift up your glasses.
Milton once wrote, "The world is a wonderful place and worth saving." I agree with the second part.
In Seven, it's the one... For some reason, it was the one that sticks in my head when they both go through the... they find his den.
Oh, yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah.
I still think
they break in, kick the door down and find it, and he appears on the stairs.
It's a shot, though. It's coming down to a shot.
It is. It's the holding the gun at his head when he's not looking in the box. I think that's the iconic moment from Seven.
Yeah.
If you had to...
Where he's got...
If you got some improvising,
he's standing over a man on his knees holding a gun to his head,
yeah.
And the man on his knees has all the power.
Yeah,
that is what it's about.
So the idea that though we talk about that is, does it mean
it's
iconic
a shot.
Moment?
It's a shot.
That's an iconic moment rather than a scene.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough.
It's interesting.
That.
Thank you, Connor.
It's a good question.
Do we have another letter, Mary?
Yeah, from Matt Ray.
Matt Ray.
Subject: Warning. Dear David, American Buddy. I just wanted to warn you about the movie, the Darwin Awards. I noticed this movie on Netflix, and I've heard of the activity of the Darwin Awards, so I thought this would have a funny premise. But no, I lasted 10 minutes in this movie before turning it off and vowing never to watch it again. No direction, no effort, no thank you. Maybe this could be added to the never watch list, like Diana and The Last Airbender. What else would you advise never watching? Also, after coming back from the holiday cruise ship Britannia... I'll come back from holiday, sorry. The cruise ship Britannia has a great selection of films. Carol, Spotlight, The Lady in the Van and Creed. I also enjoyed watching the series It's Kevin, featuring Phil Fandango's own Dave Reed. Great stuff, well worth a watch. Keep watching the films, Matt Ray.
Thanks. I mean, I think that is a harsh review after 10 minutes to know it's a never ever watch film. But, well, after saying that, I did turn off Captain Corelli's Mandolin after 15 minutes.
I didn't get through Ant-Man. I thought it was so boring. I absolutely could not get to the end of Ant-Man.
It's very derivative,
and
Ant-Man.
Love Paul Rudd.
You do, don't you?
I really do, but I like him when he's being a romantic fop rather than an ant.
Some of the scenes in They Came Together are so funny,
mm-hmm.
but the film is not good. But
what? They Came Together is a good film.
It's not great.
Oh, it's a good film.
It outstays its welcome, but it's got some incredibly good bits.
Yeah.
I'm looking on IMDb for my very worst films.
Isn't it that one with Mark Strong and James McAvoy you hated?
Welcome to the Punch.
Welcome to the Punch.
Welcome to the Punch. The Sweeney, I absolutely hated. The 51st State.
Not seen that. Not seen any of those.
I can't remember these.
Have you seen Antichrist? I hated that.
Oh, Hostel Part 2.
Oh, horrible. Hostel Part 2 is horrible. But Hostel Part 3 has quite a funny beginning.
The Golden Compass, really? I gave up on that. I found that so boring.
Sounds boring. I hated The Lovely Bones.
Not seen it.
Wolf Creek. Awful. I've got Hot Tub Time Machine. Not very good.
Yes.
Where the Wild Things Are. Gave that a 2. Marley and Me, didn't like it.
What? It's great.
I like Marley and Me.
Up in the Air, starring George Clooney.
Not interested in seeing it.
The Help is one of the most terrible adaptations of one of the most brilliant books. They're some of my worst ones. A Field in England, I didn't like very much.
Oh, I like that.
I didn't really like A Field in England. I appreciated what it did, but I didn't think it was that interesting.
Mm. Last Chance Harvey. Dustin Hoffman, Emma Thompson. Draft Day by Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that is incredibly boring.
Transformers.
The first one.
Limitless.
Transformers.
Oh, Limitless is boring. Limitless is
so dull. The idea of being given limitless potential, so play you apply...
fucking stock market.
So you apply for a job in an office. It's so boring. Yeah.
And of recent time, The Hobbit. Oh, no, it's terrible film.
Terrible film.
So do you want to read out...
We'll have one more letter.
We've had quite a few letters in since our request, so if we don't read them out, apologies. It's just that we'll get to them. Yeah, everyone wrote in and we really appreciate it. And we really like it.
You sounded very sincere there. I thought that was good.
Hi guys, I have been thinking about alternative actors.
Who's this from?
Oh, it's from Darren Rogers. I was going to say his name at the end, but that's good. Darren Rogers. Hi guys, I have been thinking about alternative actors in famous roles and how a little part of me wishes we could see those roles come to fruition. For example, Nicolas Cage was originally going to play the lead role in The Wrestler. He actually visited several wrestling shows to prepare for the role. I wish there was some footage available of him performing the role. Christopher Walken was apparently cast as Han Solo in Star Wars. Can you imagine his unique delivery as Greedo? As he shoots Greedo... I've only seen him once, sorry. What other roles have famously had other people attached to them that you would like to see clips of? Regards, Darren Rogers. That's a good question, Darren.
Called Back to the Future is famous for having, what's his name, the red-haired guy.
Yeah.
Eric Stoltz.
And they did about a month of filming, and then...
But do you want to see the Eric Stoltz version? That's what the question is. I'm sort of happy with the Michael J. Fox version, really.
Yeah.
With Lord of the Rings, it was Stuart Townsend was sent home after a couple of days playing Aragorn.
Oh, no.
And he wouldn't have been right
for that. Imagine that being sent home.
Oh, no.
I know. Here's a few, and you can tell me whether you'd want to see this film or not.
Sure.
Liam Neeson as Lincoln in Lincoln.
I never want to watch Lincoln again. It's terrible.
I have no interest in seeing Lincoln.
Okay.
I do like if Lincoln's daughter gets kidnapped and he has to go and kill her, I'd definitely watch it.
Jennifer Connelly as Veronica in Heathers, who is Winona Ryder's role.
Oh, no.
I've never watched Heathers.
It's great.
How do you mean to watch it?
Really great film.
No, that doesn't work for me. I prefer Winona Ryder.
Okay, these have to be films we've actually seen. Have you seen The Notebook?
Yes.
Was going to be Britney Spears instead of Rachel McAdams.
Oh my Christ, that would have been terrible.
Oh.
I love to see Britney Spears.
I really want to see that.
I really want to see that.
Okay. No, we haven't seen...
The Notebook's really good.
What the hell is this? In Batman Returns, Catwoman was originally going to be Annette Bening.
Oh, Annette Bening would have been good.
I love Annette Bening.
Yeah. But Michelle Pfeiffer is excellent.
Michelle Pfeiffer's one of the sexiest. That and Wonder Woman. Really nice.
Nice ladies. I like little ladies.
The lead in Avatar was offered to Matt Damon and he turned it down, so it went to Sam Worthington.
Yeah. I think it should have been Matt Damon.
I mean, Sam Worthington is... pretty dull.
But one of the blandest people.
Yeah.
Isn't it famously Sigourney Weaver takes all the roles that Meryl Streep turns down?
Is that right?
Yeah. I don't know if Meryl Streep was offered.
I don't know. I think they go to... I think sci-fis go to Sigourney Weaver first.
Well, no, the Alien was... like, she hadn't really done loads, so...
No, but now...
Oh, well, now they do, yeah.
Every sci-fi film wants to cast Sigourney Weaver in it, you know? Let's see some more of these. Tom Cruise in Footloose.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Is he a dancer?
I think he's proved himself recently when he does that dancing in that, what's the...
Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder, that he could have done it, but I do think Kevin Bacon's great.
This one, oh my, it would be unwatchable.
What?
John Travolta as Forrest Gump.
Oh my God, that sounds incredible!
Did they shoot any scenes?
No, he passed. He passed on the role. He was offered it.
Oh. Wow!
That must have been straight after Pulp Fiction and his comeback.
I mean, that would have been...
I don't think there's anything I want to see more in this world.
That is brilliant!
Yeah. Isn't it? A few more. This is a fun game, right?
Yeah.
Johnny Depp in American Psycho.
That wouldn't...
I think Christian Bale is brilliant in that. I'm happy really with his performance. Let's see what else. Reese Witherspoon is in Clueless. She's funny, but it works.
Too much of a jump.
Who is in Clueless?
It's Alicia Silverstone.
But she's played when she plays that Legally Blonde, the same
character.
Yeah. Macaulay Culkin in Titanic.
Wow.
Yeah.
As who?
As Rose.
As Rose would be brilliant.
Yeah. No, we're running out, aren't we? Let's see if there's one last good one. We all know about Tom Selleck in Indiana Jones. That's not good. Okay, Will Smith in The Matrix instead of Keanu Reeves.
He sort of played that superhero character in that Hancock. And he plays action heroes and quite a few things. It's not too much of a...
Yeah.
I like Keanu Reeves. I mean, that's...
Will Smith plays his action part very vanilla, I think.
Yeah.
It's odd. The trailer's for Suicide Squad that hasn't yet come out.
Is he in that?
He's in it, but he's an ensemble player, which is a real step down for him. But he just has a quality to him where you do not believe him as a villain. He's a good guy. He just is a wholesome guy.
But if he can prove you wrong, then that's a really exciting absolutely. Career
but in the
him.
Trailers, he looks
don't
really nice.
Don't think by a trailer, Dave.
Oh, right, okay.
That's what those dicks on Reddit did with Ghostbusters.
Yeah, well, the Ghostbusters trailer, to be fair, fair to those guys, but it did not look funny. It was very poorly edited. You can really kill comedy with bad editing. Well, there's a fun game.
Let's have one more quick letter. This is from Simon Kingsley Holmes. A film suggestion. Hello, just discovered the podcast, and I already love it. Here's a suggestion. My Iranian mate told me to watch this film, No One Knows About Persian Cats, by Bahman Ghabadi. It's a film about the underground Western music scene in Tehran, and all the bands have to play in secret there. It's funny, it's exciting, it's emotional, it's angry, and there's really good music, really great music video, but with this rapper having a go at God. I have a tin ear for rap, but the scene is amazing. Great podcast, keep going. So keep an eye out for that. No One Knows About Persian Cats.
No One Knows About Persian
really
Cats.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, underground music scene in Tehran, and it's real. Is it a documentary, did you say?
Yeah. I don't know if it is a documentary.
Sounded like it. Okay, I love getting obscure film recommendations. It's the best bit about doing this. If you'd like to write to us, then you can do so on our website. Go to filmfandango.com and fill in the box there.
Or write to Dear Film Fandango at gmail.com.
If you'd like to send us a virus, you need to attach it. So then write to dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Right, Danielle Ward, we asked you to recommend a film that we have to sit through.
Oh,
so you
Netflix.
Chose one that's 2.5 hours long. So thank
is
you for
it
that.
2.5 hours long?
Yes, it is.
It really is. But would you like to tell us what that film is and why you chose it?
I chose the 1968 Barbra Streisand film debut, Funny Girl.
Funny Girl.
And I chose it for, well, I chose it because you wanted something off of Netflix that was easy for everybody to watch.
Yes, please.
And also a film that I really love, which I absolutely do, but a film that was a classic that I thought maybe you hadn't have seen.
And I hadn't.
And
I hadn't. Had you seen it?
No.
I love this film so much because I love all of those sorts of films with all these amazing women. Like, it's the same with A Star Is Born. I mean, it's basically the same film as A Star Is Born.
What's a rough outline?
Tell us what it's about.
Barbra Streisand plays Fanny Bryce, a young Jewish girl who is funny but also wants to be on stage.
It's a real life story.
She plays Fanny Bryce, who wants to be on stage, and she goes and joins the Siegfried Follies, which is a theatre troupe in New York. and they realise that she is funny. So rather than making her do straight stuff, they make her be a comedian, basically. She's one of the earliest comedians. And she becomes incredibly famous, and she meets Omar Sharif, Nicky Arnstein, also a real person, and they fall in love and get married.
But he's a gambler.
He's a gambler, and he can't take the fact that his wife, who he loves, is so much more successful than him. And in the end, that is what drives him away.
It's a love story, as you know, she's on her uppers, he's on his downers, basically,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly the same story as A Star Is Born, really, which I also love.
Omar Sharif, so handsome back then, wasn't he?
So handsome, and it was really caused like loads of controversy because she's Jewish and he's Egyptian.
And it came out during the 6 Days War, which was Israel and Egypt. So yeah,
it caused some right old tensions.
Yeah, you
some,
can see
a right ruckus.
But that's a fascinating casting because on Omar Sharif in Lawrence of Arabia, which I talked about last year, I wasn't really sold on him. And in this, because in real life, Fanny Bryce's husband wasn't this of an Egyptian blood.
No.
In this, he adds...
I mean, he's got a Jewish name, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he adds something to this.
He
which
is
yeah. Because I watched the first 20 minutes, I thought, oh, God, this is going to be a film. I hate a really sort of 60s, really musical. I thought, oh, this is going to be awful. Then Omar Sharif comes on, and he just adds this different... tension and this sadness to it, which is really their chemistry is great, isn't
it's
it?
Their chemistry is brilliant, and I read that they actually had an affair that lasted the length of filming the film, and was contributed to why Barbara Streisand split up with Elliot Gould. When she's singing her sad song at the end, "My Man," the director made Omar Sharif stand in the wings watching her, because their own relationship had fallen apart at that stage, just to imbue it with extra feeling. That could all be bullshit, of course.
Yeah.
That could all just be early PR from the 60s. But they do have real chemistry, and that's what it's about. It's an old style of film of show, don't tell. Do you know what I mean? They are just people living their lives, and the scenes are still engaging. But it is... the story is told by... chemistry and tensions. It's not told by people explaining what's happening in their lives.
I love those slow epic films.
It is an epic, but it's only about a love affair. That's what's amazing about it.
But most of those big epics, I mean, they've got, yeah, and I guess the thing is it hasn't got the backdrop that you get in Cleopatra or Gone with the Wind. But I think the reason it's so beautiful, it looks beautiful. Barbara Streisand looks incredible throughout this film, even though she, like, is by her own admission a weird looking Jewish girl, but she looks so
beautiful. Stunning. Yeah,
I think the thing that I love is you can just sort of, it's one of those films that you can really relax into. And if I particularly really love those big epics, like I've watched Gone with the Wind twice, like end to end. I think it's so such a lush film to get involved in. But what you're watching is performers at the height of their fame and the height of their charismatic powers doing something on screen that is very rare to see these days.
Mm.
And I think that's why I find it such a beautiful, romantic film.
Barbara Streisand is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
She's brilliant.
It's the first film that she'd made. She's a big theatre actor.
That is incredible that her first film is so... I mean, she can do it, she can sing, and you can see why she's such a massive star. You just think, oh my God, you can do everything.
She's got a reputation for being a diva, and when the director was asked, was it difficult working with Barbara Streisand, he said, Barbara did well considering it was her directorial debut. I really enjoyed it. I thought like Marek at the beginning, I was like, oh God, it's one of these. But no, it got me. It really did. And there were so many of the songs that I already knew really well and didn't realise they'd come from this.
It's one of those films that I've seen a number of times because I can just put it on and I know, like, it's like reading a book that envelops you. A Funny Girl and A Star Is Born and Cabaret at those films. I just put on and watch these amazing women in these tragic stories. I love those sorts of films.
It feels that they're very of its time. It feels that those films don't really get made so much anymore.
But they wouldn't get made because, I mean, like, I can sit through 2.5 hours of Funny Girl and not think anything of it. But the thought of sitting through, what is it, 3 hours of Interstellar just makes me go, oh, I just don't fancy it. Because I know what I'm getting into with one of these classics. I know it's a beautiful, long story that is going to look lush and it's going to be... Like, there's so much focus on Barbra Streisand and Omar Sharif. There might as well be no one else in this film. Might as well just be those.
I know it's a romantic story, but there's also a romance to the filmmaking of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The period and the costumes and all of that. And that a romance you don't usually feel with science fiction. You just go, oh, going to a desolate rock alone, wearing an outfit.
What's the one with the guy stuck by himself and with all the plants?
Oh, Silent Running. That's got a romance to it.
That's really romantic. Yeah. In that sort of romance sense, of cinema. Yeah.
I think that it makes you feel like you're going to the theatre and watching the film at the same time.
Yeah.
Because, and some of the set pieces of the musicals, I would have hated it when I was younger, but now you think this is brilliant. The costumes.
Yeah.
When she's the most beautiful girl in the world. What is it? The song. I remember, what is it?
When she's
the wedding.
Yeah, the wedding. Yeah.
I don't want to do it too, but they're great. And at the end, what was I going to say? I found myself guilty because it's quite a long film. There's quite some slow bits. I did that thing where I was Wikipedia-ing quite a lot during the film because it's so. For a certain age, you go, oh, so and so's in it. You end up getting.
Yeah.
I found myself looking at the real story about Fanny Bryce and what happened and their pictures. And the more you know about the real story, I think the more you enjoy the film itself. I don't know what point we're going to make. Well, I was trying to make them, but it was
very
good.
Much a. It's a Sunday afternoon film, or it's I'm feeling a bit ill and I want to watch something, or. I've done all my Christmas shopping, what shall I watch on Christmas Eve? For me, it's that sort of film.
It's a grandma film, for me. Films my grandma would have watched.
Just love. And also the sequel, which got panned when it came out, the sequel, Funny Lady. It isn't Funny Girl, it isn't as good as Funny Girl, but it's still really good. It's James Caan as Danny Rose, and there's a really famous song in that one as well that he wrote.
Don't Stop Me Now.
No,
Don't Stop Believing.
I'm getting it confused with Don't Run Away for Age, which is in the first one. Anyway, right. it's such a...
Don't you think the original Fanny Bryce, the actual Fanny Bryce, I should say, looks quite like Katie Hopkins?
Oh my God, she really does.
I looked up lots of Fanny Bryce footage on YouTube, and I paid a little bit, I paused it and watched a bit of Fanny Bryce, which is quite strange to do.
How is she? Fanny Bryce?
She's more of a stupid style comedian than the glamour... Right. She doesn't seem to have the glamour of Barbra Streisand in this.
I mean, Barbra Streisand's comic timing is great. She's really, it's very Jewish. It's like a Jewish show.
That sort of thing does annoy me a little bit. That sounds really racist. the sort of back chat.
The swan dance is always a bit. She's laying it on a bit thick in that one.
Typical sort of Woody Allen type dialogue. Shut up. Just talk like a normal person.
That does sound a little...
That sounds a little...
I also love the follow-up. But I've not seen Hello, Dolly. But another wonderful Barbra Streisand film, which isn't really a musical, and I think is my favourite Streisand film, which I would have chosen had it been on Netflix, is The Way We Were, which again is... it's got a couple of songs in it, but it's not a musical. And it's Barbra Streisand and Robert Redford. And they fall in love. And again, it's the same story. She becomes this political activist and he wants a quiet life and he can't deal with how strong a personality she has.
So all of her films is men can't deal with Barbra Streisand.
That's actually, the genre. To be honest, it is a bit like that. She's in a really good one with Jeff Bridges as well. The Mirror Has Two Faces, which
One we were made to watch?
Paul
Litchfield. Yeah, What's Up, Doc? That was the one.
That's
you remember
crazy.
That?
Crazy.
That is
very weird.
Very weird film. It's enjoyable, actually.
I by accident watched her and who's the comedian? Who's the Seth Rogen? When she's his mum. Oh. They're going driving, and it was on. I thought,
what's it called? I'll look it up.
No, it's not Step Monster. That's Jane Fonda.
It is really enjoyable.
Is it?
Because Barbra Streisand is so good,
yeah.
And Seth Rogen's good as well, and they've got some sort of chemistry. My expectations were so low, and you thought, oh, what is this going to be? And I really found it quite...
The guilt trip.
Yes, it looks like it's awful, but it's surprisingly enjoyable.
It's just something about those... And this is why I think I can watch any Tom Cruise film, because I think he has this, that sort of ridiculous charisma of someone who has just been told that they are a movie star, and they... I just think...
But he can only function in that format. If he's on any chat show, it does not work as a human being.
But I don't think Barbara Streisand is great at being chat... I don't think she'd be that good on Alan Carr either.
I heard she had a shopping mall in her basement that needs to be staffed by full staff members in case she wants to go shopping. It's got a KFC down there. It's got a Thai rack.
I mean, it's ridiculous, but...
Sorry, that's my big two.
Have we talked about... Because I lent you a Star
I do big twos after KFC.
Yes. Did you watch it?
No, I never watched... I didn't watch the start of it. I never watched all of it.
Because it's a similar sort of... I mean, A Star Is Born is better than... I love Funny Girl. There's something about... The reason that A Star Is Born is so brilliant is because the ending is so sad. And so it's a real proper... beautiful, and it's the same story as a woman who she's starting out in the theatre business, and she meets this man, and he's also, it's James Mason in A Star Is Born and Judy Garland, though there's a remake with Kris Kristofferson and Barbara Streisand, but it's not as good because they're pop stars. So Judy Garland's starting out in theatre, James Mason's like, I can help you, let's kind of, you know,
have sex.
And they hook up, and she becomes this mega star, and James Mason's career, I think he's a gambler as well, really slides.
Is it like The Artist?
Yeah, it's a bit like The Artist, actually.
Yeah.
Is that the story of The Artist?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Silent films and then...
Yeah.
But it's... It's such a classic. I just love it.
Well...
there you go.
I found it...
fine.
A different watch that reinforced my respect for Barbara Streisand and made me found newfound respect for Omar Sharif.
I love Omar Sharif. He would have been a good Bond, wouldn't
he? He's one of the men that you sort of love as... He's one... You can have man crushes on Omar Sharif.
A role model.
Ryan Gosling, Omar Sharif.
Have you seen Dr. Zhivago?
I've seen it. It's been on the TV about 1,000 times. And I've seen different scenes of him trudging around in the...
It's one of those... Obviously, it's another epic...
Yeah.
Have you seen The Parole Officer?
He's not in that, is
yes,
he?
Yes, he is.
Is he?
He's his mentor guy who's that super thief. Do you remember?
I really enjoyed
Omar Sharif Super Thief.
I really enjoyed The Parole Officer.
So did I.
The Steve Coogan thing. Massively underrated film.
It's really funny. Yeah. Stanley Baratheon is very funny.
He regrets doing the most.
I think it's really...
Which is wrong, because he should regret Hamlet 2 the most.
You enjoyed Hamlet 2.
Oh, not much. It's weird, isn't
it? It's really weird.
It's really weird. Anyway, well, I think that's enough for this week.
Yeah.
Danielle Ward, thank you for joining us once more. Is there anything you'd like to plug before you leave this place?
Well, you ask. I am taking a show to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and it's called 17, and it's just some stand-up and some stupid songs. There's a song about Graham Chapman's ghost, which is my favourite bit. No, my favourite bit of the show is where I describe an episode of Friends, often to silence. It's really funny. So that's at 2:40 every day at the Just the Tonic Caves, and it only costs £6, and if you're under 21 you can buy tickets for £1 from the Just the Tonic box office.
Right.
2:40 every day, Just the Tonic Caves.
Well, there you go. If you'd like to see Danielle Ward, then head on up to Edinburgh. The only thing left for me to say is that we do this for free, so if you'd like to donate towards our running costs, go to filmfandango.com and hit the donate button, and everyone who has, thank you very much. We will be back next week talking about yet more films, but in the meantime,
keep watching the films!
Oh.